Guys, thank you so much for your stories that you've shared with me on love and what's happened. You got to bear with me a minute. I just got an incredible story told to me. And thank you. He probably don't realize how much it meant to me. Guys, I'm so proud to be your pastor. If you're visiting here, my name's Jim. And just Jim. I want you to know, if you're visiting, you're in a safe place. That it's a good place to be. There is no condemnation in Christ. We've talked about love for about 40 days. And I want to talk to you the next few Sundays about love in action. We had a wonderful time last night watching the movie Fireproof on how to keep your marriages together. So today I thought it appropriate that I talk to you about when a marriage has ended, but not necessarily about a divorce, but how to help friends through tough times. I gave you some statistics last week about a first-year marriage. There's only 41%, there's 41% divorce rate in first-year marriages. Second-year marriage is 60% people divorce. Third marriages, 73% of those wind up in divorce. So it's all around us. And so today I want to focus on how to be a friend to someone that their marriage is ending. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says, two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Guys, we need friends. You don't need a bunch. You need 5, 6, 7 good close friends that are going to be there for you in a crisis. And my prayer for you as your pastor is that you have some. That you have some close friends. And so today I want to talk to you about some characteristics of a friend. Proverbs 17:17 says this, friends love through all kinds of weather. We're going to talk about some crisis over the next few weeks that's going to happen, like I say, all around you. We've already talked about helping friends through tough times when they're dealing with depression. We're going to be talking about divorce for the next 2 weeks when they're going through divorce or their marriage is ended. We're going to be talking about debt when folks are having some financial problems. And there's a lot of that going on. And we're going to talk about death when someone is dying. And you're losing that relationship. Do you guys know anybody that's going through any of these? Divorce, death, debt. It affects all of us. And so that's why I felt it's important to talk about it. This week about a divorce, when a marriage has ended. We know for a fact that stress causes just illnesses. It affects your health. And of the scale, I forget which psychologist done it, 1 to 100, the most stressful is the death of a spouse. The most stressful thing that could ever happen to you. The second most stressful thing is a divorce. And the third is separation. It's one of the most painful and stressful things that you and I can ever go through is when our marriage is ended. Today and next week, we're not going to be talking about how to prevent a divorce. That's a whole nother message, but it is a message. Guys, the blessing that I got was, I don't know if you guys remember him, but there was a man that used to sit back in the back in a wheelchair. And his son's here, and he said he wanted to tell me for a couple of months. I wondered where the elderly man had gone. He was blind, but he would come in. He said, I want to thank you guys for building a church that my dad could come in, and he expected to have his high sight back by the time he left. He sees today. He died Christmas Day. He sees today. He sees today. But that's just, it's just wonderful. But the Bible talks about divorce in Matthew chapter 19. It says the reason for a divorce is adultery. In 1 Corinthians 7, it says abandonment. But the Bible also says that God hates divorce. Hates divorce. Why do you think he hates divorce? Because he knows all the pain and the hurt that it causes. Some of you may be going through a divorce right now. That you don't want to be that you don't want any part of. Guys, it takes two to tango, and it takes two to tangle. You can't save a marriage by yourself. No matter what you do, it's not going to be saved if the other one does not want it to be. That's why early on in your decision to be married, you have to take the option of divorce out of it. That divorce will not be an option. It's not going to be. I want to talk to you today about seven ways to help a friend, though. And that's all I'll talk about divorce today. But I want to talk to you about it as being a friend of someone going through a divorce or a marriage that has ended by death. Seven ways. And we're only going to go through four of them today. And we'll finish up next week about what makes a friend. And here's the first one. Is that real friends show up. They show up. They don't send an email. They don't even send a card. Not even a phone call. They just show up. When everybody else is walking out, you know, the old cliche, when everybody else is walking out, they walk up, walk in. That's the difference between an acquaintance and a friend. We got to have friends like this. You should be a friend even when you've heard them, when they turn their back on God. Some of these situations, you'll hear them, I don't want to talk about God. The Bible says in Job 6:14, a despairing man should have the devotion of his friends, even though he forsakes the fear of Almighty. The number one thing you need in a crisis is people. Is people. I'm so thankful that I had people in my life. During that time in my life, when I wanted to turn my back on God, that encouraged me and just stood there. But that's why I know it's like a broken record that I hit you guys over the head with. It's important to get in a small group. It's important that you get in there and stay in one. You know, if you don't like the small group you're in, you know, go get in another one. You know, if you don't like a restaurant, you don't stop eating. You know, get in a group. Find a group. But you need people during a crisis. And you might say, well, Jim, I'm not in a crisis right now. Well, hold on. One's coming. You're going to get in one. Things might be going good, really good right now. One's coming. Job was the richest man in the world. Wealthiest man. He was like the Bill Gates of the camel days. And in one day, he lost it all. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his family. I want to talk to you about what his friends did. In the beginning, they did the right thing. Chapter 2, verse 11 says, when Job's three friends heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. You know what they did? They just formed a small group. Those three guys just formed a small group. Folks, if you're in a crisis, don't isolate yourself. Don't withdraw. You say, well, Jim, I don't know what to do. We'll find you a support group. We'll help you form a support group. We'll get you in a group. Just don't isolate yourself. The second thing real friends do is real friends share their pain. You ever notice when you share a joy, it's doubled. When you share a pain with someone, though, it's cut in half. It's cut in half. You know, in a crisis, I found out that I don't need your sympathy. What sympathy is I don't need you to apologize for me being in pain. I don't need you to say, Jim, I'm sorry for your pain. What I need from friends is empathy, which is, Jim, I hurt with you, and I hurt for you. I'm with you. Take it for me. I'll take some of your hurt, I'll take some of your pain, and I'll share it. And you know, when I look at it, it's exactly what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He took our pain, and he took our hurt, and he nailed it on the cross. The ultimate display of compassion. I love what the guys did, the three amigos here of Job 12 through 13. It says, then they saw him from a distance. And look what happened. They began to weep out loud. They hadn't even got there yet. That's a friend. They saw their friend Job a long way off, and they began to cry because they knew how he hurt. Not just cry, weep. They took his pain on them. It says they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. That's in some kind of Middle Eastern culture thing that we didn't do in Rockmart. But it showed Job. He knew what was going on when they did this. They tore our robe. He said, those guys love me and those guys are sharing my pain. It says, I love what they did here. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. Here's what's important. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. They showed up, they shared, and they shut up. They didn't share some kind of goofy cliche advice. Have you ever just sat with a friend for an hour and not said nothing? Just because they were hurting? That you took some of it on them? When someone's going through a divorce, let me tell you what you don't do. You don't trash talk the other one's spouse. You don't do that. You just don't talk bad about the other person. Sharing pain doesn't put down other people. The third thing real friends do is they support their friends with prayer. Whether it's divorce or whether it's death, you want to pray with them and for them. You say, well, Jimmy, you know, I don't know what to pray in those situations. And you don't. It's hard. You don't know what to pray. It's tough. And I'm going to give you three verses, three things to help them to pray. And you need to, number one, you need to help your friend to recognize God's presence in their life. And that you need to help them to pray that Lord, show yourself to them. You know, the fancy church word is manifest yourself to them, become alive. Guys, I got to tell you, God is not distant. God is here. He's alive. You are not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Psalms 34:18. This is one minute. It's just great for your refrigerator. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many people that I've talked to that are going through a separation or a death of their spouse or their divorce, they feel alone. They feel alone. The Lord is close to the broken heart and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The second thing that you want to pray is, Lord, help them receive your grace. Help them receive your grace. We need the Lord's grace to make it through this terrible void that just happened to us. We need grace when we got nothing to give. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Guys, I got news for you. Jesus Christ is still in the business of healing broken hearts. Still in the business of healing broken hearts. The third thing is one that's is vital to helping your friend going through a crisis. Is that tell them, say, Lord, help them release their pain. Let them know and pray that they release their pain. Express how they feel to vent. Encourage them to cry out to the Lord. You know what some of my most effective prayers have been? Help! 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 That's the New International Version. Psalm 142, 1 through 6 says, I cry out to the Lord. I plead for his mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles, for I am overwhelmed, and you alone know the way I should turn. You say, Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. Help! Cry out! Encourage your friends. Don't bottle that up. Cry out to the Lord. Ask for help. I tell you, there's something about the Lord when you cry out. You know, when Barney was our Yorkshire Terrier, some of you guys may think this is silly. That's all right. Barney got run over 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I got a call at work, and my kids were hurt. All they knew to say was, Daddy, come home. Daddy, come home. Well, I didn't stop at the grocery store. As you can tell, I didn't stop at the gym and work out. I didn't even stop and see some buddies. My kids were crying out to me. I wept all the way home before I could see him. And I grabbed them kids and I held them. Me, them, and their mama and Chris all cried as we buried that dog. And I got a feeling that it's the same way with God, Him being our Father. If we cry out, He will come running. If we just say, Daddy, come home, He'll come running to us. He will rescue us. He will hold us and share our pain. Any father would do that. And the other thing I love about this verse, it says, I pour out my complaints. This verse tells me it's okay to complain to God. Isn't that something? That I can complain to Him. That it's okay to complain to God, because you know what it is when you complain to others? It's gossip. But you complain to God, He ain't telling nobody. He's got big shoulders. He listens. Guys, these emotions that you have are okay. You can cry out. Do you know why these emotions that you have are okay? God made you. He made you in His image. You have emotions because He has emotions. It's okay to be, you know, I guess I'm wacko sometimes. I'm either way up here or I'm way down here. You know, I'm crying or I'm laughing. You ask me to cry, I'll cry. But our emotions are okay. God made you. And He wants you to give all your troubles to Him. I didn't say that. 1 Peter 5:7 said God wants you to give all your fears and all your worries to Him. All of them. You know, one of the things that changed my life is that God cares what happens to me. When somebody told me that, says, Jim, God cares what happens to you. He cares. He really does care. And if you cry out, He comes running. He comes running. You know, and for a long time I couldn't picture that, you know, as I was crying out and complaining about things, that God would put the universe on hold to tend to me. But He does. God listens to you. God cares about you. Every little hurt. Let me tell you something. I know you may be going through hurt. God don't waste hurts. He don't waste them. Support them with prayer. Fourth thing is that real friends start with forgiveness. Real friends start with forgiveness. This may be the most important issue that your friend's going to have to deal with. Forgiveness. You're going to have to be able to ask for it. You're going to have to be able to receive it and offer it. Guys, if you don't deal with it, if you don't deal with forgiveness, it's going to eat you alive. Three of the most common emotions in divorce are anger, or guilt, or bitterness. These emotions are worse than the divorce because they go on with you the rest of your life if you don't deal with them. You get this guilt over what you've done and bitterness over what's been done to you. It's going to eat you alive. You got to get over it. The only way that you can get over anger, the only way that you can get over guilt, the only way that you can get over bitterness is forgiveness. There is no other way to be healed than forgiveness. And you say, well, Jim, you don't know what they did to me. Guys, forgiveness is not about justice. Forgiveness is about getting on with your life. Forgiveness is not about what they deserve. Forgiveness is about setting you free. You harbor bitterness, resentment. I got to tell you something. They're still controlling you. They're still controlling you. You say, well, Jim, as a friend, how do I help them? Well, the answer is in the next three verses. The number one thing, the very first thing you do is you help your friend by getting them to stop fixing the blame. Blaming is useless. Blame, you spell blame, we've said it 100 times. Be lame. Quit blaming. Let it go. Stop saying it's your fault. Or even stop saying it's my fault. Job 18:4 says, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. Guys, who are you blaming for your unhappiness? Is it the boss? Is it your wife? Is it your mom? Is it your kids? You and I are as happy as we choose to be. You and I got to stop blaming other folks for our unhappiness. The second thing is to help your friend is very, very important. Help them confess their sins. To admit what they did wrong. Psalms 38:4 says, my guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. But I confess my sins. I am deeply sorry for what I have done. You don't forgive folks because they deserve it. You forgive folks because it's the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do to hold it in. It's not the right thing to do to hold it over their head. You're the one that's suffering. You got to move on. And let me tell you something about bestowing forgiveness. You might want to give a little forgiveness because you may need some forgiveness later on. You might could use a little forgiveness. Ephesians 4, 31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, in most divorces and separation or whatever, there may be some folks besides your spouse that you're going to have to forgive. In-laws. Judgmental friends. Might be an affair that you have to forgive. You got to get rid of the bitterness because Martin Luther King said, bitterness blinds the truth. Bitterness blinds the truth that God loves you. Bitterness blinds the truth that everything works for the good for those who love Him. You can choose your choice, your choice. You can be bitter or you can be better. Your choice. You can walk around looking like a prune, health declining. You can walk around the rest of your life in unforgiveness, but I'm telling you, I'm choosing to be free. You can choose to be better, you can choose to be bitter. Let me tell you something in closing. You're not going to be able to forgive until you accept the forgiveness that God offers you. You cannot give what you have not received. So I'm going to ask you today, Lee's going to come play. Have you ever accepted the forgiveness of God? I forgive those as you have forgiven me. Or forgive me as I have given those. That's how it goes. Do you want as much forgiveness as you have given? That's what the prayer is. Forgive me, Lord, as much as I have forgiven them. How much have you forgiven? I want a lot. I need a lot. I'm a messy man. Have you ever accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? I urge you to do that today so you can forgive. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're a bunch of messy folks here. We're also a bunch of forgiven folks. Lord, there's a lot of pain down here, a lot of hurt. We need your help. I'm asking you to come quickly to our rescue. Lord, there's relationships right on the brink. Right on the brink of divorce. Help us. My Lord, there's folks that have isolated themselves. Oh Lord, I hurt for them. Lord, I pray for 5 or 6 people just to accept them, not condemn them, but to just come alongside and share their hurt and maybe shut up. Pray that this place is a safe place. A safe place where you reside, and that you walk, and that you minister to. Come quickly, Lord. We need you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.